Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We are so glad you're here. Welcome to Star Wars Dark Side Half Marathon Weekend down at Walt Disney World. We've got a great show lined up for your Friday. We're answering more of your listener questions. We got so many, we need to keep going with that. So stay tuned. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. The folks over at the Magic for Less are a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for being the best of the best. Their agents are highly trained. Actually, right now, they are down at Walt Disney World being trained by Disney to give their guests the absolute best service. Always find that best price and make a magical vacation each and every time for their clients. Don't forget, when you book with the Magic for Less, those agents are working hard each and every day and will secure future discounts as long as it's available for your resort and your travel dates. That's a great reason to book with the Magic for Less. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. While you're there, fill out that free no obligation quote and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast, and we'll get back to you right away. Check them out right now at themagicforless.com. Today's show also brought to you by our Amazon affiliate link at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Whether it's running sneakers, a microphone, or some sunscreen for the summer, when you purchase your next items online, please use our Amazon affiliate link. It does help support the show. It's very easy and it costs you absolutely nothing. So check it out today. It's over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1317 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents and very trained agents over at the Magic for Less. That's right, I'm down at Walt Disney World right now just to learning about the mouse and how I can help my guests have better Disney vacations. But of course, you know what I used to do when I was a teacher? We had what was called professional development. I always told my principals I'm fully developed. I really don't need any more. They never kind of talked. They didn't know what to take when I said that. But I'll take all the professional development I can get when I'm down in Central Florida, because anything else, I'm getting some vitamin D. So I'm liking that, but I'm having a great time and really appreciate that opportunity. So we are here recording a little bit early, but we've got this show, a fresh one out here for you, kicking off the Star Wars Half Marathon Weekend. Folks running the 5K, the 10K, the half marathon. And there's no full marathon for this weekend. It's just the half. So we're having a good time. I'll be out there on Sunday. I have a 1:25 flight out of MCO. So if you see me physically passing you during the race on Sunday, it's not because I'm trying to show off. It's because I'm trying to get back, grab my bags, get in an Uber, and not miss my flight so I can get home on time. So it's going to be fun. You know what? You got to have a challenge. I only had one race, so I made it the Dark Side Half Marathon / Catch Your Plane at MCO Challenge. So we'll see how that goes. I just don't get an extra medal for that one. Maybe I'll get a drink coupon. Who knows? Anyway, we're going to answer your list of questions. Standing by. We said Pam was going to be here. Sorry, Pam had an emergency meeting.
Sorry, you're stuck with me.
We have Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the number one site on the internet, TheMouseForLess.com. What's up, Ricky?
Yep, you're stuck with me again. Sorry.
Right now.
But we'll have some fun anyway, so.
We get the ratings. You know, I'll say, you know, we're up to a whopping 14 live viewers here. We didn't even publicize it. You guys are awesome.
Mike and Ricky in the morning.
Or whenever you're listening right now. All right, let's hit the questions. We're going to do another bunch of questions here and try to catch up for us as we're down at Walt Disney World. Hey there, gang. This one's from Laurel. Thank you so much for the podcast. I found the BOGP this last fall after putting our deposit down on our vacation. I knew that we needed to plan our trip out, but felt out of the loop since we hadn't been to the world since 2008. You're just what this obsessed planner ordered. We'll be in Walt Disney World September 4th through the 11th, celebrating our 25th anniversary. Hey, congratulations. That's awesome. That's awesome. Ricky, how many is it for you? It's the same, right? For both of us this year, what, 13?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
lucky number 13.
Yeah, we're halfway to Laurel here. We are big fans of rope dropping, taking a break in the afternoon, and returning to the park for dinner and more adventures until they chase us out. On Thursday, we have reservations for Be Our Guest at 8:10 a.m. and plan on touring until about noon, returning to the resort with Dole Whips in hand. After naps and maybe some pool time, we plan on park hopping to Epcot around 4 p.m. We have a reservation at Via Napoli at 7:05. So here's my dilemma. Should I book my fast passes at the 60-day mark for Epcot or Magic Kingdom? There are great benefits each way. Just wanted to hear your opinions. Thanks so much for your help, Laurel. She's in Perrysburg, Ohio, a bunch of miles away. She's closest to Pam. Let's just say she gave us the mileage. We'll say she's closest to Pam. All right. So what would you do? Okay. So she's got, you know, the rope drop in Magic Kingdom. You got a lot of attractions there to pick from for your fast passes. Or do you hang them in Epcot in the evening where you have less options? What say you?
I think I would say make them for the Magic Kingdom. And then, you know, you can always do the rolling fast pass at Epcot. Or, you know, a lot of the Future World attractions, they do start to get a little less busy as the evening kind of, as you head toward the evening time. So I say Magic Kingdom and then see if you can get the rolling fast pass for Epcot.
And I'm not just saying this to be, you know, just to be the counterpoint, but I was thinking, because I've always done this actually since the beginning. I always put them in the evening park just for the fact, especially she's going September 4th through the 11th. I'm expecting probably some of the lowest crowds of the entire year that week. And I think if you rope drop Magic Kingdom, you are going to have little to no wait, at least for the first 90 to 120 minutes. I would say at least for probably the first 2 hours. So that puts them at about 11. They're talking about leaving the park at like 12 or 1 and going back to the hotel where, I don't know. I mean, because at Epcot, you could maybe grab a Frozen when you go there. Think about it. Ride Frozen, walk back to Via Napoli, maybe end up with Illuminations with some, seating there and have throw in a Spaceship Earth or a Nemo or something. Yeah, you always got to take that third one like, oh, well, okay, I'll ride Living with the Land or something like that. So, you know, I would probably do the evening if it were me, but Ricky's got a good point. You know, you can go either way. It's just kind of, it's what you're looking for. But I think either way, you're going to be fine because you're going during a great time of the year where you don't have to necessarily, you know, like worry about it to the extent of like you're there on New Year's Eve. You know what I'm saying? Like you're going to be fine either way, even without a lot of fast passes. So, all right. Next up is Theo. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I love your show. Thanks for all the useful info. I was catching up on podcast this past week, and I listened to your resort charges episode. It was only at the end when you mentioned the date that I realized that it was your April Fool's joke. Very good. You mentioned deals for January 2019. Any deals for April of 2019, please? Well, so far, we don't have April 2019. The only reason we have, because I've getting this email quite a bit lately, the only reason we're booking rooms for 2019, it's that group rate for Marathon Weekend. And we negotiated some great, amazing prices, and we can book into 2019 that way because we have a contract signed with Disney for these specific rates. 2019 should become available for the entire year, probably in late May, early June, and we can book everything then. So just be patient. We just have a little bit longer to go. He also says, we'll be back in Walt Disney World then and probably over the Star Wars race weekend. I would love more info on how to avoid congestion it will cause. We'll probably be staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge, just waiting for Disney to release their 2019 United Kingdom free dining offer. If we wanted to rope drop Hollywood Studios on the 10K day, I guess that'd be Saturday, will we have problems getting there? And on the way, on the half marathon day, we'd like to leave early and visit the Space Center. Are we likely to sit in traffic for ages just trying to get out of property? Kind regards, Tate. All right, so Ricky, what'd you say about getting around the crowds as far as not running, but how's it going to impact them as a guest?
Did they say where they're staying?
Animal Kingdom Lodge. They haven't booked yet, but they're leaning towards Animal Kingdom Lodge.
That's weekend?
Actually a good thing. It's going to be Star Wars Half Marathon Weekend 2019 is what they're predicting. They're not positive, but still.
Got it. I think Star Wars, at least this year, is running from like Magic Kingdom to Epcot. So
we run through Pandora. We go through Animal Kingdom too.
Well, that's right. You do run through Pandora, but it's the Saturday, right? Not the Sunday.
Correct. Sunday will be clear, so but they're thinking of going off property on the half marathon day, which would be Saturday. The 10K would be Friday. So probably, I mean, if everything holds, we don't know if it's going to be the same, but it has been. So
right. Now, there is an exit right off, right there that you can, or a street that I've taken before. It's kind of like a back road, but I don't know if that will be blocked off at that point. So, you know, I don't know if that area will be blocked off or not, but there is a way. I mean, obviously, they'll have a way out for people. So, and since that road is very close to Animal Kingdom Lodge, you should be able to get out without too much issue. hopefully.
And what I would say is staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge, in this case, unless, and I'm trying to think, because if it is going through, I'm trying to think, because I haven't studied the course very closely. I just thought, ooh, it's going through Pandora. So I'm excited for that on tomorrow when I'm down there. But if it comes down Osceola, which some of the races do, Marathon does, and Osceola is that road that takes you into Animal Kingdom Lodge and to Animal Kingdom theme park. You turn right or left. If it goes down there, it's a big old nightmare to get out of Animal Kingdom Lodge. But if it doesn't, you're going to have a quick escape to go over to Kennedy Space Center, hit the interstate there. What I would do is just, we'll revisit this when those races are announced and we get some more information on that. Because, again, they've kind of pushed back a lot of 2019 with the race registrations and all that at this point. So we're not sure on anything. So, other than they said there's going to be the races. But, I mean, we're waiting until June 1st to still register for marathon weekend. So we got a long way to go. But I think you're going to be fine. It's just be proactive and talk to your hotel concierge. Always. Maybe talk to two or three people. Get an idea of what it's going to be like in the morning. And have an escape route if you're trying to get somewhere. Because sometimes you got to be creative. But Disney will get you there because they don't want a lot of disruption for the regular guests. All right, Sierra's up next. Hey, Mike and BOGP crew. My husband and I are longtime listeners, and we've had a nagging question. So we knew exactly where to turn for the best opinion around.
Yes.
Look at that, Ricky, the best opinion around. Put that on a quote.
Got it. Somewhere.
We celebrate our anniversary every year at Walt Disney World. We always try to stay at a resort we haven't stayed before, try a new snack, eat dinner somewhere new, or watch a show we've never seen. I like that. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. We're Florida locals and annual pass holders, so we're always on the search to keep the magic going when we spend a lot of time with the mouse. This year, we've been toying with the idea of ditching our traditional fancy dinner out to swap it for a dessert party. The issue is, when we think about this, a serious case of FOMO sets in. Ricky, what's FOMO for the older listeners? See, I'm young because I know what it means.
Fear of missing out.
That's right. Fear of missing out. FOMO. Don't get the FOMO. Okay, here we go.
Right.
When the iPhone 10 came out, I had serious FOMO because
I
was disciplined. I always get the new one, and I didn't get that one. I had the FOMO bad. It was like a case of influenza A. It was bad. Anyway, is the dessert party really worth it, or do you think a fancy dinner on property is better? If it helps, we've done Mama Melrose's, California Grill, and the Boathouse, all of which we loved. If you think the dessert party is the better option, which one would you suggest? The Castle Show at the Magic Kingdom, Tomorrowland Terrace, or Plaza Garden? Hollywood Studios Galactic Spectacular Dessert Party or Frozen Ever After Dessert Party at Epcot. Thanks so much, Sierra and Joe, 1,024.8 miles from Pam in Pittsburgh. All right, so Ricky, first question. Would you, because this is totally personal opinion, but it sounds like they've been doing a lot of fancy dinners. I say switch it up. They're Florida locals, so why not?
Yeah.
But I mean, if it were you, like, and Brian said, okay, we can have a fancy dinner or we can do a dessert party. Which one would you personally pick? I think that's kind of interesting.
Well, so for us personally, I would probably pick the dinner, but only because Brian doesn't really eat dessert. So that kind of makes the difference in what we do. Cause I don't think that we would get a lot of money out of, the value out of the dessert party, given that dessert is in the name. So, so I think we'd probably do the dinner and then, I'd get dessert. However, in this case, I think I agree. I would definitely switch it up a little bit. I think that that's probably the better option overall. And try something different. Plus, the dessert parties, okay, some of them have things like cheese and stuff like that. So you can kind of make it a dinner, right?
That's a stretch. it's a dinner if you're
cheese and vegetables.
Yeah, if you're like a rodent, it could be considered dinner, but not for most people.
No, you can't. But I mean, you'll be fine. I think it'll be good. So
is that called a charcuterie or something?
Charcuterie.
Charcuterie. I'm from Missouri, man. I don't even know.
That's what the. I'm from Missouri too, and that's what it's when it has meat and cheese and like nuts and stuff like that. That's a charcuterie board.
Okay. So here we go. So we're saying dessert party to switch it up. We're going there.
Yeah.
So now, okay, pretend like Brian's a normal person and he likes desserts and you love desserts. Okay let's say that because that's kind of how Pam and I, we love desserts. You get the choice. They throw it out there. You can do Happily Ever After, either the Tomorrowland Terrace or the Plaza Garden, or you can see the Star Wars fireworks with the desserts or Frozen Ever After. Which one are you taking if it's out there, Ricky?
Well, let me first plug the Mouse for Less, because I actually just made a page all about the different dessert party options that guests can choose from. So if you are curious about those, you can go to our dessert party page. So for me, oh my gosh, I think, oh, this is so tough. I think that for me, it's between Frozen Ever After and the Happily Ever After fireworks dessert party. I do like that you get the ride on Frozen, yes, for sure. So there's that. However, that is $79 versus the fireworks dessert party. And I would do for Happily Ever After. And if I was going to do that, I'd do the Plaza Gardens view, because I think it's a better view. And that's a little bit cheaper. I believe that's $59. And I don't remember if I updated the pricing on this or not, because I know it's increasing just a little bit, but I can't remember if I actually updated that or not. So I'll have to double check that. So it's around that $59, $60-ish. So it's a little bit cheaper to do the Happily Ever After one, but I mean, you get that for sure right on Frozen with the other one. So
yeah,
to Frozen.
My vote would be Frozen as well.
Frozen.
Yeah, I mean, because Frozen, you're getting just a little bit extra. And it's, I mean, but the thing is, like, a bunch of us were debating internally. We're going down this summer in June and July. And the big group, you know, I was talking to Scott and I was talking to Pam. We're trying to decide, like, do we want to do that dessert party? And I looked at the price and I'm thinking, it's cool, but I could substitute the ride for a Fast Pass. I can, right, you know, I can get a good spot for Illuminations. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, there's an easy way to get a good spot. And I can buy a lot of desserts for that price, too.
That's true. That's true. So,
and drinks. Because
I do like the Happily Ever After one, because the plaza area, because you're right there on Main Street with the perfect view. So, I mean, really, I would do one of those two, to be perfectly honest, I think. Although you do get a good view with Star Wars.
I've been to the Star Wars. I did the Star Wars one at a media event, and those desserts were unreal. Now, if you've never done a dessert party, it's kind of crazy, because, like, you know, usually two or three desserts and you're solid. Like, you go past two or three and you're going to get a bellyache.
Right.
And I was not disciplined that night. You know what?
No.
Because, I mean, the thing is, not only are they really tasty, they all, the presentation of these things, you know, you've seen how they do the desserts, like in Big Top, what's it called, back in Storybook Circus, the Big Top,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
cases and the confectionery and stuff. I mean, everything looks almost too good to eat. And so you want to try everything, because you're like, oh, there's a BB-8, I don't know, something, cheesecake, womp, you know, boom. And they're all like, nothing's big at these dessert parties. They're all like little one or two bite deals. But the thing is, like, if you don't have discipline, all of a sudden you've eaten probably the, you know, like what would be like a half a pan of brownies back home, and then, you know, you're trying to watch fireworks, like, I'm gonna throw up because I've eaten so many, you know, so much dessert, and you're not used to it. And plus, I think half of that, you're trying to get your money's worth, you know, like when,
yeah,
I go to something like,
true,
this, if I only eat two or three desserts, I'm like, man, I got ripped off. But then again, like, if I eat too many, who cares, I'm sick, you know, like, what kind of an experience is that? So I think it is tough. But the Star Wars one was really, really cool. I mean, the presentation of the desserts was something to be seen. So, all right, this next one, we're a little bit late on by about a day, but we're going to get to it. It's from Laurie. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I'm running the Dark Side Half Marathon, and it's my first run Disney event. Hope to see you down there, Laurie. I'm planning to pick up my packet at registration on the last day of the expo, the Saturday before the race. Ooh, that's tomorrow. The hours are 9:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. When is the least crowded time going to be? If I arrive at opening, how long would it take to get in and pick up my registration? I'm not a big shopper, so I would only look around for specialty merchandise if I have extra time. Thanks, Laurie, from Charlotte, North Carolina. So, Ricky, you've done a couple races. When do you like to go to the expo? And I'll give her the optimal time, but when do you typically go?
I would say, I mean, if she wants to go just probably in and out, like around that 10:30, 11 o'clock time. Or around like the 1:30 time, somewhere around there. So the two times I would go.
So, and obviously I've gone to tons of expos. If you go as soon as they open in the morning, they are nuts, because runners are kind,
right,
of nuts. Like, and I always tell myself I'm not going to do that next time. And I do. And I'm in this line that is longer than Frozen Ever After, you know, the day it opened. It's crazy long. If you want to go on that Saturday, tomorrow, as the show comes out, go like in the last couple hours. If you're not shopping, there's no reason not to. The specialty merchandise will probably be very, very picked over no matter what time you go on Saturday, because people buy that stuff. The runners like the collectible, you know, the stuff that's Run Disney branded. But if you're not looking for that necessarily, I would just say to go in the last hour or two, because your bib's going to be there. It's not going to sell out of that. And just you'll pretty much walk in, walk out, boom, done. You won't have traffic to deal with. All right, so Chef Todd's saying, he's in our chat here live as we record on Facebook. We just did a private fireworks cruise, and it was a way better deal for us. Great view of Happily Ever After and no crowds. Very similar price. So, Ricky, think about that. That's another thing. And didn't you just write an article, too, on the Mouse for Less about the there's a Happily Ever After. Yeah, it might be the one Chef Todd's talking about right here. I thought I saw a link in the email about that fireworks cruise for Happily Ever After.
Oh, yeah, so there's that, too. Yeah, that's an option as well. I wrote one for Touring Plans. That might be what it is. I'm probably the Happily or the Mouse for Less too. But what Chef Todd is talking about is a private one.
Okay.
The Fairy Tale crew wishes or whatever it's called, Fairy Tale. It's Fairy Tale something. Is not a private one. It's like 100 or it's quite a few people on the giant ferry boats. So. And it's like $100 is how much it is. So I wouldn't go with that one. I would go with one of the other ones. I think you'd have a much better experience, or I would do a private one like he's talking about.
Yeah, if you get enough people, like those kind of things, even like this isn't a dessert option, but if you get an Illuminations cruise, you think those are expensive, but I think you could fit 12 people on the boat. And if you figure it out price per person, it gets down to like 15 bucks a person. I mean, for like 2 hours, like what, you know, when you think about things like even, and I know those VIP tour guides at the Magic Kingdom are crazy, but if you get the maximum amount of people divided by the amount of hours, like it's not as horrible as you might think. You got to kind of be creative.
That's true.
All righty. Alan in the Facebook chat has a question for us. Are the king bed rooms really worth it worth the upgrade at the resorts, particularly at Riverside? It just kind of depends. I mean, like at home, we have a queen bed. So like a king bed, and I can't, you know, if it was Pam and I on a king bed, I wouldn't be able to find her. Like we'd get lost. So I don't know if I'd pay extra for that because it's more than we're used to. I will say a lot of times the king bedrooms are on the corners. So sometimes you get like a window on each side of the building, you know, like if it's on the corner, you get, especially at Riverside and French Quarter, you'll get like a window on both sides. Not always, but a lot of times they're on the corners. So I wouldn't do that. I mean, a queen bed's fine for me. I could care less. Like a lot of times we'll book, you know, even if it was just Pam and I, which it never is, I would book, you know, one of those rooms, say at Animal Kingdom Lodge or Wilderness Lodge, that has a queen and a bunk, because who cares? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care what the second bed's like if you're not going to use it.
True.
So I don't know. That's what I say for that. All right. Next question. This one's going to be particularly for you, Ricky. I saved this one for you. It's from Kyle. Hello, BOGP crew. For the past few years, our family has visited the world for a week around Christmas time. We've always had a great time and can't wait to go back. This year, however, we're debating going to Disneyland instead. We have never been to California, and we know that Disneyland is much larger. Or we know that Disney World is much larger with more rides, parks, restaurants, hotels, etc. The question is, will we still have enough to do in the Disneyland area for 7 to 10 days? We have always driven to Florida and enjoyed having a vehicle to get around when needed, but we would be flying to California, so we'd be more limited in our ability to travel around. We have 3 very active boys, so we need to keep busy. Spending too many days just at the hotel or going to the beach are not viable options for us. Thanks in advance. Kyle is up in Toronto, Canada. Go Maple Leafs. So, Ricky, you've been there.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so my first thing, and I haven't been there, but I would say rent a car, because if you want to be there for that long, I think you're going to want to kind of expand the radius a bit outside of Disneyland, right? Okay, so talk to me about that.
So I would absolutely consider renting a car. You can do Disneyland now we did it in like 2.5 days, which is not enough time, definitely. And I would suggest, if you really want to experience the park, I would do it at least, you know, 3 days, so you have at least a day and a half in each park. That's at minimum. I think if you really want to, you know, take advantage of things, for sure you'd want to do at least 2 days in each park, so that gets you 4. But you're definitely going to have to, you know, and I've heard they don't even sell tickets for more than 5 days, I don't think.
No, they don't. 5 days is the most we can add to a package.
Exactly. Yep. So you're not even going to be able to buy tickets for more than 5 days. And I would not suggest, and then you're in annual pass territory, and annual passes for Disneyland are quite expensive. So just keep that in mind as well. So especially for that time of year, because you're going to have to buy the most expensive annual pass, because every other annual pass has blackout times during that time period. So that is something to consider as well. So I would definitely suggest you're going to have to go to other places. So you could do Universal Studios Hollywood, you could do Knott's Berry Farms, you could do the beach. Obviously, you could do Hollywood stuff. You know, there's a lot of stuff to do in Los Angeles and that kind of area. Then I think if you're looking for a LA vacation with the Disneyland component added to it, I think you're going to have a great time. If you're really just looking to have just a more or less strictly Disneyland vacation, I think 5 days is probably going to, you know, cover it, you know, overall. So, you know, 5 to 6, if you really want to stretch it. So, yeah, I think you'll have a good time, though. I mean, it's going to be crazy crowded, though. Just keep that in mind. I know it's crazy crowded at Disney World, but it's also kind of crazy crowded at Disneyland because it is a locals park and they all come out in force when everybody's off school. So even though some of the annual passes are blocked out, you know, you still have a lot of people who, you know, don't have annual passes that are blocked out or who are buying, you know, passes for the day or whatever. So, you know, just keep that in mind as well. It's going to be Disneyland, you know, is kind of nuts right now, which is good for them. And I fear for them when Star Wars Land opens officially, because it's going to be cuckoo, even more so.
They'll be backed up all the way to Arizona, you know, to get in the park.
Goodness, exactly. So, I mean, that's something to look out for as well. It's a great park to go visit. So I definitely think, I'm not saying that you shouldn't go, just know that there are things that you have to keep in mind when you're going to Disneyland that time of year.
You know, I'm kind of in the same boat as our listener here, because I've never been, but I, you know, I'm starting to develop a plan of what I want to do, because, you know, Mallory's of the age where, and Pam as well, you know, and in Paige, if she goes, if she decides to, you know, we've never seen Hollywood and, you know, the greater Los Angeles area. So I've thought about it, and I've thought of, you know, going down and going to Disneyland in California Adventure first, because that's kind of like what I'm dying to do. You know, that's my number one by far, and staying at like a Good Neighbor hotel, you know, for like 3 or 4 nights and really seeing a lot of it there. Then going, you know, combining like some things I've always wanted to do, maybe go see a Dodgers game, you know, at Chavez Ravine, you know, at Dodger Stadium, have a Dodger dog, or go to an Angels game and see Mike Trout playing for, you know, in person, like where Tony or our listener here was from Toronto, maybe wants to see the Kings play, you know, the hockey team, because he's a hockey fan. So you could do that or watch a basketball game. You know, they have so much going on there. You could go to the beach, like you said. You know, there's a lot of other things. But then I thought what I would do is then come back to Disneyland and maybe stay like the final night at like the Disneyland Hotel, because I can't afford that for 7 nights. But it would be a great wrap up, you know, because like that way you'd have like, you know, you get it out of your system kind of at first, and then you go do the other stuff, the touristy stuff outside of Disney, and know that at the very end, you're going to come back and maybe stay at the Disneyland Hotel for one night. And, you know, kind of go back to the park one big, you know, spectacular, then hit the plane and come home.
That and Carrie in the chat has a good suggestion too about the San Diego Zoo. Obviously, that was, you know, one of the best zoos in the country. Although personally, I think the St. Louis Zoo is probably a little better, but I'm a little biased. Plus, the St. Louis Zoo is free. So you get an awesome zoo for free, or you have to pay a lot of money to go to San Diego. But you're not going to St. Louis, so you know, maybe go to the San Diego Zoo, or you've got Legoland out there too. You know, it kind of depends on did they say the age of the kids? Because Legoland kind of skews a little young sometimes.
It sounds like they may be young. He said 3 active boys, so
yeah. So that does skew a little young. So you might want to look into that too.
All right, good stuff. Have a good time, and definitely a change from Toronto, I'm sure. All right, Sherry is up next. Hey, BOGP, I just got back from Disney and had the most magical time. I definitely used your advice on eating at Sweet Spells.
Yes.
Is that? It's gone, right? It's a goner?
That's not going to be there anymore.
And this email's not even that old.
Sad.
This email's not that old. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I just thought about that.
Disney, seriously, here's my gripe. Okay. They had a store, or they had some sort of building at the front of Toy Story Land initially in the plans. Like, you could see it in the concept art. And then miraculously, the building went away. And now they're taking Sweet Spells and making it into the Toy Story Land gift shop, basically. why, Disney? Why didn't you just build the stupid building at Toy Story Land?
Are we not going to...
You're taking the best place.
Well, are they not going to make... I mean, every theme park has to have like a confectionery, right? I mean, Magic Kingdom's got two, basically. Does Animal Kingdom have one?
Epcot's got, different...
Well, yeah, they don't really.
It doesn't have like a traditional confectionery. And Animal Kingdom, they do have Zuri's Sweet Shop, so that's a little bit better. But I'm so mad that they're taking out Sweet Spells. Like, seriously angry. Why?
No, that's just a bad idea. Because I'm not even somebody that's like a... I'm not like an impulse buyer, but that place would get me. That place would suck me in.
Well, and then they took out, so they took Snoring Rolls, and then they took that. It's like... Come on, Disney.
It's race weekend. People need their sweet spots.
Exactly. Both of them. Now you have to wait in the really stupid long line at Starbucks if you're wanting to get a cupcake. Or I guess that's where they're going to put the carrot cake cookie, because that's where that was. So I guess that's where they're going to put that. I don't know. So then that line's going to be even longer.
No more carrot cake cookies.
Sorry. Frustration.
Anyway. Okay, so we got to get back to our email, because I just stopped right mid-sentence there.
Sorry, my bad.
So anyway, she used our advice on eating at Sweet Spells and on using both sides of the ordering line at Pecos Bills. I even got the dirty looks y'all said I might get.
I'm so glad you did. Yeah.
What are you, your button? I was a school teacher for too long in elementary school. I'm used to, your button? No, I'm not. I'm just smarter than you. I'm just going to the other side. Sorry. Anyway, you sure know you're Disney. It was. I was even able to maximize snacks by splitting 3 quick service credits among my family of 4. We still never ate all of our food. And then using the extra quick service credit to buy 3 desserts at the plaza, Big Top or confectionery. Thanks for all the tips I learned from you. I was really able to make this a fun trip. Well, thanks, Sherry.
Nice.
While I was there, I booked a bounce back special trip for just me and my son, who didn't have enough time to do the Agent P, Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom, etc. I usually stay at the Polynesian, but booked the Pop Century since y'all seem to love it. We're going in December and was wondering if you could recommend any must-do parties or special Christmas events for us to book to add a little extra magic. Thanks for sharing all your expertise and stories on the podcast. Sherry's down in Dallas, the Big D. So going down for 2018 Christmas, staying at Pop Century, you're going to love Pop. I know it's not the Polynesian. I mean, nothing's the Polynesian. You don't have the location. You don't have the size of the rooms. You don't have the history of Polynesian is Walt Disney World. To me, that's exactly, I know Walt didn't walk there, but it feels to me like he might have wanted to. Pop Century is different, but it's a lot of fun. Your son's going to be, you're going to both love it if you're Disney fans. But Ricky, what'd you say for Christmas? They're going down and they're looking to, looks like they like to do these other things like Agent P, Sorcerer's the Magic Kingdom, probably the pirate thing in Adventureland. What else could they consider for this Christmas trip?
Well, they wanted to do something, special. So, of course, you've got Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, which is an option that they can consider. If it's taking place on one of the nights that they're going to be there, I would absolutely, for sure do that. You can always go, depending on when they're there, they could do like the gingerbread tour, which is always fun. You go to the Grand Floridian and the Polynesian, or no, not the Polynesian, the Contemporary always has something. And then you've got Beach Club with their carousel, stuff like that. So there's always a lot of unique things that you can do. And the great thing about a lot of the holiday stuff is for the most part, most of it is included with your park ticket too. So, all the stuff at Epcot is included in your park ticket. Now, this past year they did have at Epcot, they had a scavenger hunt that you could participate. It was a Chip and Dale themed scavenger hunt for Christmas. So that may be something that you would want to do. Now, like I said, it has an additional fee to it. It's about $5.99 or so. You get a map and then you get to put stickers with the corresponding, I think it was ornaments that Chip and Dale have like ornaments, and you have to find out which ornament or something like that is in that spot. So, and then you take your map to the front and then they'll give you a prize when it's all done. So, that's something that would be fun to do too.
Yeah, good tip. And don't miss things like holiday illuminations. That's very special, very moving. The candlelight processional, if you're there while that is showing, even if you have to stand in the back, I've said this many times that I've never actually sat for candlelight processional because I just don't have the discipline to wait in those long lines, because they get rather long.
Yes. No, they get so long.
And I don't do the dining packages. But, I've stood in the back basically kind of almost on the, there's like the sign for the American Adventure attraction out there. And there's kind of a planters around there. I've stood, basically almost that far back. but the music comes through just as clear, and you can hear the guest narrator, you know, reading the Christmas story. It's amazing. So don't miss that. It's a lot of fun. All right, next question is from Holly. Hi, Mike and gang. This summer, my husband and I are going to Disney. It'll be my 9th trip, but the first time we're going with our daughter. At the time of the trip, she'll be 19 months old. We are also traveling with our family, our friends and their two kids, who are another 19-month-old and a 4-year-old. Oh, mercy. They're going to have their hands full. We still have a month or so until we need to book our fast passes, but we're wanting to book fast passes for things that the little ones will enjoy. We plan to either skip the coasters mostly or do the single rider lines. We want this trip to be toddler focused. What do you recommend as far as the best fast passes to get at each park for our kiddos? Thanks, Holly. All right, so we're talking 4-year-old and 2 under 2-year-olds. Okay, so let me go. Let's give 3 for each park. So I'm going to, we can kind of ping pong. Magic Kingdom definitely lets things like Small World.
Yes.
I would say Winnie the Pooh, because it's like bright and colorful and you kind of bounce. You know, that's kind of cool just because it's bright and colorful. What about Jungle Cruise?
Yeah, that would be one the whole family could do. Boat. I was going to say Peter Pan.
Yes. If you don't fall out of the little flying ship, but you got to hold on tight, especially the 4-year-old.
Right. You've got... Pirates, which
Arg. Yes.
Yes.
That could be a little scary for the 4-year-old, but you know what?
Could be.
You got to learn. You know, life's rough sometimes. You got to get them.
And I'd also say Under the Sea.
Yes. I always forget that's there. Oh, and because they won't get Enchanted Tales with Belle yet. They're too young, the 19-month-olds, right? They don't have the discipline to have a story. You're acting it out, though. I can't remember how old 19 months old is. Like,
it's true.
Sad. I can't remember that Mallory's 10. All right.
You could also do Haunted Mansion, but that might be a little scary for them too.
Yeah. But you got to make them tough. You know, you got to expose them to stuff. All right. The other parents would be like, why are you taking a 19-month-old on the Haunted Mansion? They don't know. They don't know what scary is yet. Anyway, because we took Mallory on it all the time. So Epcot. Ooh, man. Okay. So I guess Nemo, Spaceship Earth.
Yeah.
Living with the Land. Frozen.
Yeah, I was about to say Frozen doesn't have a height requirement, right? So
no, I don't think so.
Frozen.
Okay, so
I think that's the only. I mean, that's the only tier one attraction.
We've said almost everything that's at Epcot.
That doesn't have. I mean, you could do. I mean, Turtle Talk with Crush, but I mean that's gonna be fun either way, and you don't need a fast pass for that. So I would definitely do that. Imagination might be a little scary with the blast at the end, but. That's something you can consider too.
We've said almost every fast pass attraction except Test Track and Soarin' and Mission
Living
Space.
With the Land. You can
Living with the Land. Everything's fun in a boat, as Nate and Matt say.
Absolutely.
All right, over to the studios. The Great Movie Ride.
Great Movie Ride. I say Disney Junior Live on Stage is going to be.
That's a must. That's a must.
That's a must.
I'm trying to think what else. Toy Story, because the kids can, you know, ride in the ride.
Yeah,
I mean, they
probably
won't shoot.
Can do that. I would say. The attractions in Toy Story Land are going to have height requirements, so just keep that in mind. But Toy Story Mania won't, so that would be a good one. For the first time in forever, Frozen Sing-Along? You've also got Voyage of the Little Mermaid.
I love that show, just for this nostalgia. I don't know if like a 4-year-old and a 19-month-old... Yeah, you know what? It's visual, and there's like... They like
visual,
music.
Puppets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's dark. Okay, so Animal Kingdom. What are you going to say there? The Na'vi River Journey?
Yes, I was gonna say Festival of the Lion King. I think that would be good for the little ones. Don't do It's Tough to Be a Buck.
No.
Please don't do that. Don't
that scares
do that.
40-year-olds.
You know, I don't know how the new Up show is gonna be. That might be a interesting. I don't know. That could be boring. It'll depend. They're adding characters to it, so the bird show that might be.
What about the safari? I mean, because they're sitting there kind of riding in a Jeep and seeing animals, and like, especially the 4-year-old would be all over that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The safari, 100%. Yeah.
Okay. Look at that. We did it. We did it. We made fast passes for little kids.
We did.
All right. Last question of the day. We appreciate you guys hanging with us. Sarah is up next. Hello. I just wanted to follow up and thank you for answering a question a few weeks back about taking our young boys, 3 and 5, to Cinderella's Royal Table for breakfast. We ended up canceling the reservation and we watched the opening show instead. We rode the Tomorrowland Speedway, Dumbo, Mad Tea Party, and Barnstormer all before 9 a.m. The park opened at 8. If we had kept our reservation, we would have had to wait at least 30 minutes for each one of those. The crowds were pretty bad in mid-March, and we were glad to get a head start. I booked fast passes based on your recommendations from the from the Worst Places to Wait in Line episode. I remember that one. That was quite a couple months ago. We fast passed Jungle Cruise, Peter Pan, and Winnie the Pooh. We're so thankful to not wait in those lines. That's awesome. I love it.
That's so good.
It's funny that the
people
are
sometimes we're helpful.
We try. We you know, sometimes it happens. Sometimes we apologize for the stuff we say here. Let's see. We stayed in the Garden Wing at the Contemporary. The room was fine, not great, but it was affordable by Disney standards, and the location can't be beat. We were able to go back for naps in the middle of our Magic Kingdom day very easily, and we walked back after the fireworks, which was priceless, worth every penny. We used touring plans and followed it as best we could. It was nice to have some guidance on the best order for the rides. Thanks for all the tips and tricks. Many thanks to you, Ricky, and Pam. I'll keep listening as we plan for next year. Thanks again. Sarah's up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So how about that, Ricky? I mean, we love getting emails like that, too, because, you know, I like hearing that. Like, what happened? Because you know what? We try to give the best answers we can. We know we're not always right. We just try to make an educated guess from our experiences. And of course, you know, Ricky doesn't have any kids yet, but she's seen a million kids at Walt Disney World and interacted with my kids. And, you know, she's interacted with a lot of kids.
I haven't murdered your kid yet. So that's a plus.
Which I almost I almost do daily. So, I mean, there you go. So that's more than me. You know, but I think the thing is it's interesting to see because, you know what? We don't know what that meal would have been like at Cinderella's Royal Table. It might have been amazing, too. But the thing is she got to do a lot of stuff before that, and her kids were thrilled with the fact that they got to ride rides without standing in line. They were ahead of the crowds, and it kind of makes the most of the, like, you just feel like, you know, by 10 o'clock in the morning, like, wow, we're like way ahead today already. You know, when you have that feeling, it kind of suits your day. So good to hear. You like hearing that stuff, Ricky? It makes me happy.
That's good. I'm so glad that they had a good time.
All right. Well, that's another show. So
yeah,
thanks
we were
again.
Helpful.
That's it.
I'm so glad we were helpful, yeah, to be perfectly honest. Yeah.
We're quitting with that one. That, you know, yeah. Get one like that. That we're leaving it like that for the weekend. All right. So, because I'll be down there with everybody this weekend. So I'm like, hey, good advice right here. And Ricky right there should give good advice. All right. So don't forget, you can send in your questions and thank yous if you have them, or say we messed up to Mike at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. We'll read them either way. So
we're used to that, too.
We are very used to that in our real life. All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. The agents really are right now at Walt Disney World training to give their guests the best service possible. So when it comes time for the next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Universal, or Disney Cruise Line, or even Adventures by Disney, whatever you want to go on a trip, boom, they'll take care of you. So drop by themagicforless.com, check out all the great specials, and while you're there, fill out that free no obligation quote and an agent will get back to you right away. Just check them out today over at themagicforless.com. and as you do that shopping, a lot of you lizards, you know, I wear my sneakers for like a year, like until literally my feet are like through the sole. I know some of you guys wear them for like a month, you get like 200 miles on them, and you got your next shoe. If you're buying those shoes after the Star Wars Half Marathon weekend this weekend and you buy them from Amazon, remember, BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Support the show and get some new sneakers at the same time. We appreciate it so much. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And you want to follow along. Again, we've been having fun on the social media all week. Still more to come. BeOurGuestMike on Instagram and Twitter. We've got at BeOurGuestPod as well on Instagram and Twitter. So give a follow over there. And of course, the Facebook group is going crazy as well. Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here and let's get on with your weekend. Runners, have a good time this weekend.
For Ricky, I can't believe it's been 2 years since I did that race, by the way. 2 years since I did the half.
That was, you know what, kind of on a serious note, like that race 2 years ago was the race I found out I was super, super sick. I almost didn't.
You did.
I got to like mile three and I thought I was going to die. So
I do remember that.
Oh, yes. Redemption Sunday. That's what I'm calling this, redemption, and the run to MCOs. So if I make, the odds are about 50-50, I make that flight. We'll see. And I apologize in advance if you're sitting next to me on the plane back to St. Louis. You don't want to take the one. You don't want to take the 1:25 p.m. to STL. No. So I'm just saying, change your flight. All right. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Letting you know, may the force be with you, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.